I'm curious, do you have a really great BS detector? Maybe you're often skeptical of others. Are you really street smart? Would you say you're pretty self-assured? You often find yourself being the leader in the group. Maybe you even struggle to ask for help. Do you love a good challenge? Do you fight really hard for the causes you believe in? Do you have a great sense of humor? I bet you're a blast. You might have thought that these were all parts of your personality, but they might actually be coping mechanisms you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially on this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, and then they became a pattern. And now as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's so interesting, right? There are 5 different personality patterns, and they're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that we immediately go to when we start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who we are so much as what's blocking who we are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern, and then you can live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz. Welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast, the show for ambitious women ready to get off the hot mess express. I know you've got a lot going on. You work so hard. You're raising an incredible family. And sometimes it can be overwhelming. I'm your host, Michelle Grosser. I'm a certified master life coach, attorney, wife, and mom. And years ago, I was right where you are. I was running a busy law practice while raising a family, and I was on the fast track to burnout. I thought I just needed to be more organized or have better routines, but it was learning how to heal and regulate my nervous system that expanded my capacity to gracefully hold more of this big, beautiful life. You too are worthy of an extraordinary life in and beyond motherhood. Learning to be a calm, anchoring presence in your home and at work is going to be your superpower. If you're here to do the inner work that brings a sense of calm amidst the chaos, I'm here to join you on that journey. Each time you press play, your growth continues. So let's get at it. Hey, hey, you guys, Michelle Grosser here, and you are listening to the Calm Mom Podcast. Welcome, and thank you for being with us today. I am so pumped because in recording this episode for you guys, I met Kate House, and she has been just so awesome and so fun to get to know. And I feel like I found like a life friend in her. So I'm really pumped for you guys to hear this episode. She's the host of the Live by Design podcast. She is a mom and a wife and a health coach. And I love this. She calls herself a slow but steady runner. I can relate so hard to that. And today we're going to talk all about setting goals. I think it's really easy to just like Google how to set, you know, SMART goals. We've all heard about it. We all know how important it is to set goals. But I wonder how often those goals actually light us up. So it being the beginning of the year, everyone having all of this excitement and energy and wanting to live 2024 with so much intention and by design, I thought it would be perfect to have Kate talk to us about how to set goals with soul, which I just love it. She's going to teach us how to implement the steps to bring our goals to fruition. She's going to teach us some really clever ways to stay motivated, one of which involves Prosecco, which I was like, tell me more. And it's so good. And I'm going to start implementing it in 2024 also. And she's just such a light, teaching us that through our process of setting goals with soul, we can really maximize the joy that we experience in the day to day. So enjoy this conversation with my new friend, Kate House. Kate, welcome to the Calm Mom Podcast. I'm so excited to have you with us.
Oh my goodness, Michelle, this is so much fun. Thank you so much for having me here today. So we're going to talk about goals today. We all have them, right? Whether they're like overt or not, I think. So we're going to talk about that, but we're going to talk about how we can set them intentionally and by design, because that's Kate's wheelhouse. So I want to talk about that. But before we jump in, let everyone know who you are, what you're doing, what you're teaching about these days, with all the things.
Oh, thank you so much, Michelle. Yes. So my name is Kate House. I live in the small town of Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, which is where I went to college, Gettysburg College, and where I met my husband. So we're college sweethearts. We lived all around for about a decade, and then we decided to come back to this little town to raise our kids. Like Michelle, I have two little ones. I've got two little boys, 4 and 6. So we are in a season where they've just started school. We're in this very new season of life, because up until recently, I was a stay-at-home mom for about 4.5 years. And so by day, I host the Live by Design podcast. I am a coach for women who have just, they've had their moment of enough is enough, and they're ready to prioritize themselves again. And I coach women in that situation because I've been there myself. And my hope is that I can help you maybe take a little less of a loop-de-loop like I did and maybe streamline your journey a bit. And I just love to support women in living by design and not by default. So I do that through my podcast, in the Live by Design Collective, my group coaching program. That's really where I pour a lot of love and energy. And we've been studying lots of things recently that I think selfishly, I like to learn about because I need it in my life, and my community's asked for it too. So we've studied a lot of overwhelm recently. We've studied really like holistic health, like how do we feel good in our mind, our body, and our souls? And of course, goals. We love talking about goals too.
Oh, that's so beautiful. What work to empower women in a way that like just kind of seeps into every aspect of their life, right? I'm sure it's like their motherhood, professionally, their marriages, relationships. That's beautiful. Okay, so I do want to talk about goals today. Before we jump into it, I think sometimes it's just that time of year we start thinking about like, what are my goals for next year? And we're reflecting, like, what do I want to do differently? How am I going to achieve these? And I think sometimes that process can feel a little overwhelming, or we can just get caught up in like all the things. And it's like, I have so many, this happens to me often, right? It's like, I have so many ideas going on up here, but how do I distill this in a way that then I can take action on it? Because sometimes when we feel overwhelmed, I think it can send us into paralysis where we're just like, okay, fine, I'm just gonna procrastinate and do this tomorrow. So let's start there. Talk to me a little bit about overwhelm and how you coach around it, approaching it, what to do when you find yourself feeling overwhelmed so you can kind of move through it to what's on the other side.
Yes. Oh my gosh, Michelle, I love this question so much. Well, first of all, friend, if you're listening to this and you're like, yeah, I feel overwhelmed, just know that you are not alone.
I think join the club.
Right? Like, it's so nice to know sometimes, like, okay, I'm not the only one who's feeling like I'm crushed under the weight of all the things, right? And that's not a place that we want to stay, but it is a place that we have to recognize, like, oh, I'm in a season of overwhelm right now, or I'm in a day of overwhelm. And overwhelm is really interesting. So when we studied it in the collective, I kind of decided to group overwhelm in two groups, and I called them proactive and reactive. And neither is better or worse than the other, but there are things that we can do proactively to mitigate those feelings of overwhelm. And then there are things that we can do reactively when we find ourselves in a moment of overwhelm, because sometimes overwhelm's a little sneaky and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I feel really overwhelmed right in this moment, right? And so that's really where I like to approach overwhelm from is, first of all, be kind to yourself. Know that it's okay. You didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. This is something that happens in life, right? So one is just recognizing, I feel a little overwhelmed. And then two is deciding, and you actually just spoke about this, Michelle, on the Live by Design podcast, getting curious, where is this overwhelm stemming from, right? Is it relational? Is it financial? Is it related to your career, right? Like your family, where is it coming from? Getting curious. And the next thing you can do proactively is just to think, what are some things that would help me feel better, right? Or what one thing, if I took it off my plate right now, would I feel so much better? Would I feel so much lighter if I just removed this one thing from my plate? And oftentimes putting it in that kind of stark contrast, like one thing, like if you could only choose one thing, that really helps us kind of narrow in on like, oh yeah, this is where the overwhelm is coming from. And so things that we can do proactively are, I mean, a lot of what you teach, Michelle, in terms of our nervous system, right? And coming back into regulation, it's movement, it's mindfulness practices. A big thing is being in community, whether that's listening to this episode and having Michelle and I be the voices of friends in your ear, whether that's working with a coach, joining a group program, whatever it is, but you know, be in community with others. And then when we're in a moment of overwhelm and we're moving more to the reactive overwhelm, I really like this practice. It's called the 5-4-3-2-1 method. And if you find yourself in a moment of overwhelm, for many of us, our mind starts to swirl, our heart rate increases, right? We start to get a little sweaty. We're like, oh my gosh, what is happening? And so this method allows you to just kind of pause all of that to get out of your head and kind of back into your heart and into your body. So what you do is you pause. Sometimes that means like if you're at your computer and you feel overwhelmed, like go walk into the other room, go walk into the break room at work, go walk into your kitchen if you're at home, you know, wherever, is change the scenery. And then do this, find five things that you can see. So like, let's just get into the space that you're in. What are five things that you can see? And then what are four things that you can hear? And then what are three things that you can touch, two things that you can smell, and one thing that you can taste? And it's amazing how just taking the time to move through 5-4-3-2-1, it just helps you hit pause on that like downward spiral, like the mind swirl. And it hits pause just long enough that you can then get curious, you know, decide what maybe brought on that overwhelm and move forward from there. But I think in terms of ending the year, looking forward to the new year and wanting to set goals and maybe feeling a little overwhelmed, the biggest thing we do for ourselves is to be kind to yourself. Like take the time, and I have a couple tips too if you want to dive into them, but take the time to reflect back on the last year, but do it from this place of curiosity. I know that's big for you. And kindness, right? We're not being hard on ourselves. We're hard enough on ourselves already. Let's be kind to ourselves instead.
Oh, that's so good. It's so good. And you're like speaking my language as we record this. The episode, it's going to be like a little ways out now when you guys listen to this episode, but the episode that just dropped on Monday was about, it was called You're Not Lazy, and it was about procrastinating. And a big part of coming out of that is exactly what you're teaching here. I was like, and I say it a lot on this show, but I'm like, get out of your head and into your body. And when we allow ourselves to orient to our senses in that way, that's exactly what we're doing. And it's almost like a slingshot in the sense that we're talking about goal setting, right? Which is very heady, but it's like our head can also be like a roadblock to that.
Yes.
We have to get out of our head into our body to be able to get back into our head from a place of like regulation and be more effective and be able to think clearly and access all the parts of our brain that probably allow us to set really good goals.
Yes. Exactly right. Yeah. I love that idea. The slingshot. That's exactly it. Like we got to get out of our head and back into this beautiful body. And then we can move back into our head again. And so when I think about like setting goals, the first thing I like to do, like I hosted a summit earlier in 2023 called the Goals with Soul Summit. And we spent the whole first day just celebrating how far we've already come. It was like our foundational day. We did nothing about goals for the future. It was like, let's celebrate the fact that you're here right now. You survived 100% of your hardest days. Like, let's celebrate all the things you've already done. At big, small, and in between, everything is worth celebrating. And so when I go to set goals for the new year and we talk about this kindness towards ourselves and this compassion and getting back into like our heart and into our body, I like to think about, we just did this in a journaling session recently, and we listed three things that from this past year that went well. So like three things that you're like, yeah, that was good. That went well. I feel good about that. Then we wrote down three things that we were proud of ourselves for. Because so often, like, especially as achievers, as high achievers, as, you know, folks who are really growth oriented, which is awesome, sometimes we forget to like, to celebrate, like, yeah, you did that thing. That's awesome. So three things you're proud of yourself for. We like to list three things that we're grateful for. And you'll start to see sometimes there's a little bit of overlap between these, and that's okay. But three things you're grateful for, or people or experiences. But then the last one I think is the most important and kind of ties back into what we're talking about is
three opportunities for you to learn or grow. So maybe it's a situation that you're like, I think I might handle that differently in the future. Here's what I've learned from that situation. And I like to think, you know, we think of failure as this bad thing. Objectively, yes, right? But what if we can learn from, quote, failures or things that don't go the way that we had hoped or according to plan? What are some of the lessons we can pull out so that we can use that and turn it into wisdom going forward? And so that's kind of our practice that I like to teach in terms of like, okay, before we even start goals, let's just love up on ourselves a little bit and give ourselves permission to be like, that was a great year, or that was a hard year, that was a year of growth, whatever. Let's look into these things. And then the last prompt I always give folks is, what three words would you use to kind of sum up this year? And it was so cool because when we did this in my coaching program the other week, we've had some women in really hard seasons of life. And so the word growth kept coming up, and how even despite these challenging seasons, it was helping them and forcing them, but in a way, but helping them grow as people, right? Their abilities, their so many different ways. And so I think there's something really powerful in looking back on the past year and giving yourself this permission from curiosity and kindness, and to think about like, yeah, these are the three words that sum up this year, and no judgment, just like facts.
Oh, that's so beautiful. And it's so, I think people underestimate how powerful that is, because yeah. I think a lot of us are like, well, that doesn't feel productive for me to like mm-hmm. celebrate, or, you know, like I don't have time for that, or we're so uncomfortable with experiencing yes. sustained pleasure or sustained joy. And it's like we have a big win and we're like, oh, that was awesome. And then like 6 seconds later, we're like, on to the next project. So we can't yes. sit in it. So I love that you're creating space for that. And I think, I mean, you probably know more about this than I do, but I think even from the psychology of setting goals and feeling motivated so much, a celebration has a huge role, right? And whether we are able to achieve our goals and be consistent in the steps to achieve our goals. So it feels like quote unquote soft, but it's actually so important.
Yes. You know, one way I like to do this, I know you guys are listening to this on the podcast, but Michelle can see over my shoulder, I have these little bottles of Prosecco over here on this shelf. And yes. So I do this thing where I buy this like 3-pack of Prosecco. It's just like a bubbly kind of, champagne-ish type of wine. And I take washi tape, and I do this a couple times a year. It depends how fast I go through my goals. But I write down like a goal that feels like it makes my heart like flutter a little bit. Like it makes me, I'm like, oh, this would be really cool if this actually happened, that, you know, I have to work for it. So I'll write down 3 kind of aspirational goals, and I put it on washi tape. I put the washi tape on the little bottle, and I put the bottle in my fridge. And every time I open up my refrigerator with 2 small children, I open my fridge like a million times a day. And every time I open it up, these 3 little bottles, or what, 3 bottles, 2 bottles, sometimes I'm down to 1 bottle. They kind of smile at me, and I'm like, I see you, goal. Like I see you in there. And it just kind of keeps a top of mind. And that's how I celebrate. So when I reach that goal, like I'm coming up on a download milestone for my podcast, and it's been slow but steady growth for like 3.5 years. And so when I hit this goal, I'll get to grab that bottle of Prosecco and pop it open. And I usually record a little reel for Instagram to like share it with, because I like to share this journey. And I'll like do something special while I drink it, like a puzzle with my husband, or like watch a favorite movie, or just like read a book that I really love, right? And that's the way I'm just like, let's just celebrate this little win along the way. It's such a small thing. It seems so silly, but like I've done this for years now, and now my collection of bottles is growing. But it's cool to look back and be like, oh, each one of these is representative of something that at the time felt kind of scary or a little unattainable. And then you see them collect over the years, and you're like, that's kind of cool. Like, nice. Good job.
First of all, I'm obsessed with that idea, and I'm going to start doing that. I'm going to send you a picture. And
yes, second, please,
I feel
do.
Like my cheeks hurt from smiling so big, because I'm like, this is it, you guys. Like, it doesn't have to be like bringing out a whiteboard and like, you know, writing. Like, this is fun. This is how we get yes. to do this. This is how we get to set goals and achieve and celebrate them. And I just love that the reminder is there behind you, right? Of like all the past wins, just in your face. I think, oh, it's so, so beautiful. I love that idea. Love
yes.
it.
Yes. Yeah. Go get those little champagne bottles. They're like surprisingly motivating.
And the constant reminder, right? Every time you open your fridge, it's like redirect, 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 or like your why, like, why am I doing this today? Oh yeah, it's in service of this bigger goal that I have.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. And that little reminder is just so helpful.
I've got a question for you. Do you sometimes feel like you're more sensitive than other people? Does the routine stress of life just feel overwhelming? Maybe sometimes you feel like you could just tap out or run and hide. Are you really creative? You got this great imagination. Or maybe you feel like you're disconnected from your body or like you're a misfit here on earth. You might have thought that's just how you are. All these things are just part of your personality. But they're actually coping mechanisms that you've picked up over the course of your life, and they're having a huge impact on how you show up, especially in this motherhood journey. Are you curious to know more? You've got to take my personality patterns quiz. Here's what's going on. When you were a child, whenever an experience overwhelmed your nervous system, you subconsciously built a defense against that overwhelm. Over time, those defenses became a habit, then they became a pattern. Now, as an adult, what we think of as our personality is often this defense pattern running the show. It's interesting, right? There are 5 personality patterns. They're not personality types like the Enneagram or the Myers-Briggs, but rather they describe the safety strategies that you immediately go to when you start to feel overwhelmed. They don't describe who you are, but rather what is blocking who you are. The good news is that once you take my quiz and learn about your pattern, you can learn skills to break out of that pattern and live and parent your kids as your true and authentic self. Click on the quiz link in the show notes or go to michellegrosser.com/quiz now to take my 2-minute personality pattern quiz.
Okay, so let's talk about the goals. You have everyone fired up. Let's talk about where should they start? What should they focus on? How do we do this in a way that is more well-rounded than just like a number or, you know, some other objective measure?
Yeah. So I love this question, Michelle. So the first thing I'll say is that most of us, when we think about goal setting, or if you like Google it, right, you're going to come across SMART goals. No shade on SMART goals. There's absolutely a time and place for them. However, I think as women, as moms in the year 2023, wearing all the different hats that we wear, juggling all the things, I think we need a slightly different approach. So this is like the four ways I like to set my own goals with Soul. So the first is, I want my goal to be aspirational. And by that, I mean, I think about future Kate. I think about future Kate a lot. And I think about 1 year from now, Kate would have the ability to do this goal. And so, for example, one of my champagne bottles last year was like, I host a virtual summit. A year ago, I had never hosted one. And now I've hosted 2 and I've learned and I've grown all these things, right? But a year ago, that idea like gave me the butterflies. But I was like, it's aspirational. Like I know a year from now, if I worked every single day consistently, not like 8 hours a day, but like 30 minutes every day, whatever that looks like, consistent effort, I could do that. And so aspirational is the first part. The next is that it's attainable. So I'm not saying that I'm going to go out and host like a 1 million person summit, right? That's not realistic for where I am. Maybe one day that'd be cool. But like, I was like, if I just have like 500 women come to this digital, like this virtual summit, that would feel so incredible, right? And so it's like, it's attainable, like it's aspirational. Future Kate will be able to do it. It's attainable, even though it's still a little bit of a stretch, right? But in that way, it makes it like exciting. Like it's just close enough that you're like, yeah, no, I could do that. Like if I really put effort and energy into this, I can make it happen. The third thing, though, is that it has to be meaningful to you. Now, I don't know about you, Michelle, but like I was a people pleaser for a very long time. I was like told anything less than 100 on a test means that I didn't do well on it, right? So I was like high achiever, Phi Beta Kappa, you know, all the things. And I would achieve these goals and then I'd be like, I don't really feel anything. Because it wasn't meaningful for me, right? It was pressure, you know, from outside forces, not even for bad reasons, right? But I felt a lot of pressure to perform in a specific way, and I would achieve what was expected, and it felt good, but it wasn't like it wasn't as meaningful for me, right? And so now as a mom in my mid-30s, I'm like, I want it to mean something for me, right? Like, let's deconstruct the people pleasing and what is meaningful for me. So like hosting a summit for me was meaningful because I wanted to support as many women as I could in living by design and not by default, right? And so that was really meaningful. That for me is what keeps me motivated. The meaningful piece keeps me motivated on the days when I'm like, I just don't feel like it. And like, that's okay. You can have a day where you don't feel like it. Just set a 10-minute timer. Just do 10 minutes. And then if you don't feel like doing it anymore after 10 minutes, you did it, you showed up, and you can go on to the next thing, right? Sometimes you set the 10-minute timer, you get going, and you're like, oh, this is great. Let's keep doing this. So we have aspirational, we have attainable, we have meaningful. And finally, we have seasonal. And I was joking with Michelle before we hit record. I don't mean seasonal like you're listening to this over the winter season. I mean, what season of life are you in, right? So my season of life right now is wildly different than it was a year ago when both my boys were still home and I was like doing homeschool preschool and driving them all over the place or doing library dates. And that was a very different time in my life where, you know, I podcasted in the evenings when they were asleep or my schedule looked really different than it does now when they're in school full time, right? And so the goals that I set now are going to be reflective of that change of season, that change in my schedule. And seasons, they shift, they change, they're ever evolving. So even if you're in a season where you're like, I only have 15 minutes a day for this goal, like, that's awesome. Like, I'm so proud of you. Like, I'm so dang proud of you for carving out that 15 minutes because I know how hard you had to work for that. And just know that this is a season and there will come a season when maybe that time is bigger or your energetic ability is bigger or your mental space is bigger, right? And it's not better. It's just different. And so I want your goals with soul to be seasonally appropriate. I don't want you to set this aspirational goal that it doesn't also take into account the season of life you're in. And there's something really beautiful about that, right? So treasure the season that you're in and know that it's temporary. So that's how I set goals: aspirational, attainable, meaningful, and seasonal. And I think the seasonal is the hardest part, but the part that has helped me the most on my journey.
Yeah, I can see that. Goals with soul. I love it. So much. And the seasonal part too, it's like just a reminder that everything's in its season, right? So it's not a no, it's not a closed door. It's just like this season, my focus is going to be on a different priority. And then when that season comes around, it'll have my full attention. Mm-hmm. So I think that takes a level of surrender, I think, right?
Yeah. Like just, totally.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm just going to trust that this is what I'm doing in this season with these goals, and then that will adjust as my life changes. I love all of that. I think it's powerful. I don't know if you've done this yet. I don't want to like put you on the spot, but I would love to hear some of your goals for next year. Like, what are some things that you're excited about or wanting to focus
on? Oh, I love this question. No, I'm so ready for this question because I've been reflecting on it a lot. As we record this, I've been really taking some time to take stock on the last year. Yeah. So going forward, I also like to pick a word of the year. And then I like to set kind of monthly intentions that somehow tie back to that word of the year. And then I use those monthly intentions to really focus on the habit I'm implementing that month that supports me feeling the way I want to feel. So the way I want to feel in 2024 is empowered. I really want to feel empowered. And I think I inceptioned myself a little bit because my second summit was the Empowered Self Summit. And I was like, maybe this is just what I wanted in my own life. So empowered is how I want to feel in the new year. And for me, being empowered looks like specifically, I really want to focus on my physical health and wellness. I feel like I had a couple of really hard seasons. Like last year, my brother passed away and one of our best friends, it was a season of grief and moving through that and then being in the season of being a stay-at-home mom for a long time. And then prior to that, you know, we had a global pandemic, like all the things. Just a lot of life has happened in the last 4 years or so. And I think because of that, I've kind of put my health not on the back burner. It's like on the warmer burner. It's like it's there. I'm thinking about it, but it hasn't been like on the front burner necessarily. And so for me, being empowered this next year means really prioritizing myself again and and just moving my body from a place of joy and eating food that blesses it and prioritizing good sleep. Like, I drink a ton of water as it is, but I should probably drink a little less coffee, like, you know, all those kinds of things. So for me, like, in my body, I want to feel empowered. But then throughout the rest of my, you know, aspects of my life, I want to feel that empowerment or that confidence. And for me, a lot of that kind of trickles down. Like, if I've, it's that idea that a rising tide lifts all boats. So I'm like, if I really focus the first quarter of the year on that physical empowerment, then I think by the second quarter of the year, by like April, I'll reevaluate and be like, okay, if I'm feeling really solid and in the habits and in the health empowerment, like, all right, now let's see what, maybe it's relational, maybe it's career. Like, I don't know what it's going to be yet, but I trust that April, future Kate will know what that next thing is.
Yeah, first things first.
Yep. Yeah. So that's my intention going into the new year, is just to feel empowered. And then it makes it so easy to make decisions, because you can just always, I just put it through the lens of like, when I have to make a decision, I'm like, does that support me in feeling empowered, or does that, or is it not supportive? And then it makes it a lot easier to say yes to things that are like a full body yes, and no to the things that you're like, oh, no, I just like, maybe people pleaser Kate would have said yes to this thing, but empowered Kate is like, no, thank you. Thank you, but no, thank you.
Oh, empowered Kate sees the options, right? Like, that's the opposite of being in victim, where it's like, it's like the opposite. It's like, I see all the options and then I choose from an empowered place. How I want to be. Oh, that's so good. Man, there's just something so contagious about your being and your spirit and your joy. Like, I've so enjoyed having you on the show, and like, I don't know, you've inspired me. Like, there's something about being around. I can see why you're such a good coach, because I would want to be around your energy. I just feel ready to, like, I'm going to turn this off and I'm going to go, like, write my goals with soul. I'm so excited.
I love it. Well, when you do, like, tell me what they are. No, you're so sweet. I love the work that I do. And I love that we live in a world where you and I have four little humans between us, but we can carve out this time to get together and to empower one another. And that's the beauty, is that we get to do it together, right? Like, it's so much better when you get to do it with a friend, with a podcast. Like, living by design and not by default can be a really lonely road if you choose to go it alone. And it is so expansive when you do it with others. And like, I think it's so cool that you and I get to do it together right now. Like,
okay, tell everyone where they can get more of your goodness.
Oh, thank you. Well, you can hear Michelle over on my podcast, the Live by Design podcast. We're doing a podcast swap. So excited. We just recorded for that right before this conversation, and it is so good. So definitely pop over there, the Live by Design podcast with Kate House. And then everywhere else, my website is Miss Kate House. So just MS Kate House, just like a house. It's too easy. And then my Instagram is also Miss Kate House. And you can go over there. If hearing about Goals with Soul, if that resonates with you, you can grab the private podcast feed for the Goals with Soul Summit totally for free over on my website. So you can binge listen to that as you start to set your goals for the new year. But, you know, I'm so glad to be here, Michelle. I'm just so grateful to spend this time with you.
We'll link all of that in the show notes for you guys and make it easy for you to find that summit. I think that's so awesome that you're making that available to women, and so timely as we set our goals for this coming year, that we can do it by design and with soul. And I love all of this so much. So thank you for being here today. Thank you for sharing with our audience. I know everyone was blessed by this conversation, and for just being the light that you are. I'm so grateful to know you.
Oh, I feel the exact same way. Thank you so much.
If you love Mommy's Podcast, leave a review.
If you enjoyed this episode, it would be so awesome if you could take a moment to subscribe and rate the podcast. And if you have just a few more seconds to leave a quick review, they really help to get this podcast out to other moms like you. I read every last review, and trust me, when it's late at night or early in the morning before my kids get up and I'm working on bringing you all of this content, your reviews are what keep me going. Leaving a review is truly the best way you can thank me. And of course, DM me on Instagram. I love to hear from you. Thanks for listening to another episode. Head over to the show notes for this episode and all past episodes at michellegrosser.com, where you'll find free resources and more ways to connect with me. If you love the show, share it with a friend. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll see you next time.